Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett here with you during a chaotic first week of December where we have coaches changing, players entering the portal, and a little bowl game uncertainty. So we're going to talk about it all here today for you on the program that's brought to you by our good friends at Port Royal Plants. This holiday season, go ahead and get your friends and family some Port Royal Plants. It's a Kentucky proud product that's grown, processed, and manufactured right here in the Commonwealth from Port Royal, right up there, Henry County. I believe they're based out of Owenton. Just visit PortRoyalPlants.com and try some of their products. I'm a big fan of that CBD balm. I've been talking about it a while. It's all natural, full spectrum, the best of the best. Any sort of outdoor activities, whether you're tailgating, going to football games, hiking, you can use their all-natural tick mosquito bug spray. Try Port Royal Plants. You will not regret it one bit. I can promise you that. Luckett, it's been a quick and it's the offseason's lived up to the early hype so far. We got a Sunday to catch our breath, and we had two players enter the portal and two coaches fired just like that.
Let's talk about Tanner Bowles. Literally just entered as we were coming on here. The Alabama offensive lineman from Glasgow, 2019 signee. That feels like that could be a guy potentially for Kentucky. So, like, things are happening fast, Nick. I'm wondering, like, we talked about tampering on our little transfer portal YouTube video earlier. Uh-huh. I'm wondering how many commits we're going to see, like, on December 5th. December 6th, we're just going to see like 100 commits. And our guy, Matt Zenitz, man, this is why he makes the big bucks. He is pumping out these transfer portal announcements. So, yeah, I mean, the madness is officially underway.
Yeah, it is officially underway. We've alluded to it in other platforms. We've got a transfer portal preview up on the KSR YouTube page. If you'd like to hear us go more in depth about it, you can watch that video now. You can watch us online. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you tuning in throughout this year. But let's start from the beginning of the week when we had news that John Settle was being let go, the first offensive coach out. And I just appreciate that he had the co-special teams tag. That made it much easier to get rid of him right away. And it also did too, because they weren't waiting around for a bunch of his recruits to sign on December 21st.
Yeah, I think it satisfied an appetite for some of those in the fan base. Wanted to change a special teams coordinator, even though I don't think Settle had much to do with the kicking game plan or personnel decisions in the kicking game. And the second part you hit on, the recruiting just wasn't a factor.
No,
not as really. As a recruiter, so bottom line business there. They need some more recruiting star power on the staff. That's a position they're going to want to upgrade. And I think we'll see how this timeline works out with the coordinator hire, but that's a position I think you could, like, I think Stoops would potentially feel comfortable maybe hiring first. We'll see. But, like, that's a guy they got to get that has connections on the recruiting trail and that can go pull players for them. Settle wasn't pulling any players, and they lost a lot of recruiting star power, and you just can't have a net negative there when it comes to recruiting. And so he's out after 2 years, and they really haven't had a lot of running back coaches here, Nick. You look back, Chad Scott, Eddie Grant, John Settle. I mean, that's 3 in 10 years. That's a pretty good run of stability, but now they're going to have to go find somebody else.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where trying to narrow our radar on who it could potentially be is tough, because it's just you can cast a wide net, and you still probably might not get all the fish that you're looking for. You know, our big pie in the sky, it went away just like that. Freaking Hugh Freeze. Yeah, you smart SOB, first act as head coach was like, Cadillac, you're staying on staff. That was genius.
The really only hope there was maybe Cadillac didn't want to work for a phony, but he's, you know, He's Auburn through and through, so he's staying there. And the Freeze Act is going to be Nick. We'll get into this in our coaching carousel episode, but Freeze's act at Auburn is going to be very, very thick. They're going to lay it on thick with him, and so just get ready for a lot of change, Bobby Petrino type change man stories. I think we're going to get out of Auburn camp here leading up to the season.
I love that Lane's already just putting the people's elbow out on Auburn on Twitter. I think his words were, was going to tweet at you, but heard you can't get onto your account. Because Hugh Freeze has reportedly got his social media privileges revoked because the dude can't help but slide in to people's DMs to defend himself. It's ridiculous. One of them, it was like a sexual assault victim. Like, you're intimidating witnesses, dude. That's like, you can go to jail for that, right? Like, he's a buffoon, but he can coach football. So that's kind of where we're at, right? Like, that's it's the name of the game.
This is America. But if you're good at something, someone's going to hire you. It just is what it is.
It is what it is.
But yeah, I mean, that SEC Media Days is going to be – we're going to get some fastballs there, I would imagine, from some people.
Oh, the big J's are going to show up in droves, right? Like,
and I'm expecting
– Thamel tried to get Coach O.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we'll have some similar grandstanding.
I'm expecting a filibuster there from old Hugh. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. We shall see. But they're going to make recruiting a priority for Kentucky's next running backs coach. And as you said, I don't think it's a – like, that's not a carrot you dangle in front of a new OC. Like, you want to go hire a coach? Like, you can just hire him by himself. If they do that, it would be with the offensive line coach. But we don't know if they're going to move on from Zach Yenzer or not. I would not expect it until Kobe Keenum's letter of intent comes in December 21st.
Yeah.
As slimy as that may sound, that's just the way this works. So I don't know. Or they might keep him. I don't. We'll see.
Well, I mean, it just gets, you know, Liam Cohen kind of handpicked him. If he returns, he might want to keep Zach Yenzer. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I love that part of the part with this stuff, some of it's like, okay, you all are, we're just grasping at the names we know, right? But it actually seems like that's Kentucky's first, we got to at least give them a call, right? So they're going to give them a call. And, you know, we'll play it by ear. But I'm sorry if I'm a little distracted. We got a lot of there's a lot of stuff happening, Luckett.
The Cohen stuff seems like it could be very real,
right?
Jake Peets, who's the assistant quarterback coach for the Rams, just took the Nebraska quarterback coach job.
Correct.
There's going to be changes made with the Rams in the office. It just seems like it could be real, and so we'll see how it plays out. Typically, Nick, like, there's language in these NFL contracts where they just can't leave unless they're fired. Like he's – it's not like he can just come quit, I would say, typically. I don't know how that really all works. But you look at the Rams' schedule, Nick, they play this Sunday. I believe they play the Seahawks at home. Yeah, I believe they play the Seahawks. Then they have a Thursday night game after that. And then after the Thursday night game, they have the Monday night game.
So, like a 10-day window right
there. You got, right. You know, if he could get away, that would probably be the window to do it in after that Thursday game.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And that Thursday would be the 8th, December 8th. And so that would be a little bit after a week after Mark Stoops. It would be 9 days after Mark Stoops in Kentucky. Let go of Scangarello. And that would fit the timeline. That's
right,
usually
right.
When you would hire someone.
And that would all, like, normally I'm quick to shoot down, like, just because we know the guy, right? Like, rehiring Eddie Green to be the running backs coach just because we know him, I'm usually like, okay, come on. Like, we don't need to just do this because we know him. However, the stuff at LA does give it a little bit of legs, like with Pete's movement, like there it, the ship seems to be sinking a little bit. So, you know, as much as like McVay might make an exception, like, hey, buddy, why don't you go ahead and get out while the getting's good. So kind of sort of deal. I know you like it there, but to that point though, like, I don't think it should be the end all be all because there is a, the more I've thought about this, Luckett, the more that I feel like I kind of know the direction Stoops is going to go with this. And I really, you know, if they aren't bringing Liam back, the guy from the Eagles, is it Dave Johnson?
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson, excuse me. Dave Johnson, former PRP principal. but Brian Johnson has that pro Power Five mix that I think is what Stoops wants more than anything out of this, is give me some of the pro stuff where we're going to still run the ball, but I need to be able to get it to my playmakers, and I need somebody who knows that, like, okay, we can run the quarterback against Power Five defenses where we're going to see different looks week to week. We're going to see not just the same sort of scheme. Like, you're going to have to deal with a 3-3-5 every once in a while. Like, you're going to have to deal with a lot of different looks, and you got to be very malleable week to week. Johnson from the Eagles also had experience with Mullen at Florida. So I'm starting to like that guy. If that can be done, if that can be made possible, it, you know, as a, not the first name you've heard in this offensive coordinator coaching search.
Yeah. I mean, you just look at, like, the Eagles are just straight kicking ass, right? And they're doing some really cool stuff on offense. They're kind of the new, like, Nick Sirianni's like the new Sean McVay. And so I think that's all intriguing. And, like, the SEC experience sticks out here with his time with Dan Mullen at Mississippi State and Florida. And we've mentioned Dan Mullen as a candidate. I think there's a lot, like, with him that you would like. Mm-hmm. But like, Nick, my problem with this, these NFL coaches, man, like, you have to wait so long.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you need a quarterback. And so, like, are you going to pull the trigger on a quarterback before you hire an offensive coordinator? I mean, there's going to be a lot of, like, back channel kind of communicating here, but that's all a thing you have to deal with right now. I mean, it makes it really, really complicated. And it's like we said, I believe in the rapid reaction, this is, the timing is not great. It's bluntly, it's very, very poor timing here to go through a coaching search.
Yeah.
With all this other stuff they're trying to figure out. I mean, it's got to be head on a swivel at 247-365 over there in the facility about what they're doing. And so they've got
to. Sorry, on 365, not 247. Like it.
Well, whatever.
Get your branding right. All right. We're on three.
But, right. You know, like, there's just a lot going on. And Mark Stoops pay big money to figure it out and got a lot of big things to figure out right now.
Lots going to change between now and next week when we're recording. We're going to do a bowl show Sunday night. We'll touch on that later. A lot going on. But let's go ahead and get to some potential quarterback names. And I'm curious, Luckett, because it is it's hard to navigate, because initially you could connect some dots with Rich Scangarello, right? Like, okay, this guy is – he worked with Rich before. We had kind of an easy layout. This feels much more like a blank canvas. So I'm curious where your brain took you when assembling this quarterback transfer big board.
It's just names available, okay? Like, I'm not going to sit here and speculate on guys I think might transfer. So, like, this is going to be a running post, Nick. Like, we're going to update this throughout the cycle. And as guys come in, I'll add them. I think my plan is to update this once a week until Kentucky has their quarterback. But that's really the thought process here, is to just have an official place we can all go and be like, this is the quarterbacks, and to provide some information on these quarterbacks that's easy for you to find and consume. And so that's what we did today. We went and Luckett Scouting Agency did some work for you. Okay. And now we're here. So really we got four names here, Nick. And I think everybody knows who these names are. I think we've talked about them on the show and other shows on the KSR YouTube channel. Hudson Card of Texas. We talked about him a lot. Cade McNamara at Michigan. And then Hank Bachmeier was a name Matt linked down as an option.
Hank.
And then Brett Gabbert, who Kentucky played against week one. Now, Hudson Card's going to be one of the more popular quarterbacks, I think, in the portal.
Yeah, I agree.
Top 100 recruit. He's got off-script playmaking ability. He started multiple games at Texas, and he's kind of gotten a bad hand dealt at Texas. Commits to play for Tom Herman. Sits 1 year behind Sam Ellinger. Tom Herman leaves. Sark comes in. Sark starts him immediately and then pulls him. And then he goes out and lands Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. So he really hasn't, Card really hasn't gotten a completely fair shake there in Austin. And so he's on the move. He'll be a redshirt junior next year. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. A lot of teams are going to be looking at him. And so that's going to be, I think, a probably heated recruitment. McNamara, like Michigan to the playoff last year. He also kind of got an unfair shake. It was a battle with J.J. McCarthy. He gets injured. McCarthy takes over and rides out. Now, it's a couple weeks ago it was reported that McNamara suffered a major knee injury. They're not saying what.
Right.
Had surgery in November. Had surgery like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
So he's out spring ball.
Not ideal.
And then you have to, like, how big is this knee injury? Like, is it an ACL? Is he going to be able to play starting next year? Like, what? Well, you got to be careful with that, whoever gets him. And Bruce Feldman has leaked out Iowa is to one to watch there.
Oh, man, that could be such a train wreck.
Right. Well, like, you'd have to assume Iowa is making a play caller change, I would assume. I mean, we'll just see.
But it's a Rorschach test thing, right? Like, you get worse at throwing a football when you put that jersey on. Like, that's just how it works. So, I feel for the guy. Although, like, if you did – I mean, just think of – it doesn't take much to – like, you – it shouldn't take a whole lot to make Iowa decent in offense, just average. So I'd be interested to watch that unfold if he does get healthy. I also wouldn't mind having a quarterback named Hank, because isn't Hank just the opposite of a quarterback's name? Like, Hank is the name of a dude who's like an offensive guard, right? Who's just pulling down the line with the mullet falling and busting head. Like, Hanks are not quarterbacks.
Mike linebacker.
Like, do you know any Hanks in your life? Because I know a Hank, and Hank is just a big old SOB, right? Like, he's good.
Funny, it's funny you say that. If Taylor and I ever have a second son, Henry is going to be the name, and we're calling him Hank.
Hank's
so you
tank.
So you will know one maybe down the road someday. But, yeah, Now, Bachmeier's interesting because he started early, played a lot, but he left his team this year, and the team got better when he left. Now, there was a lot of – they changed OCs in the middle of the year, and that's why he left, because they fired the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So, or not left, just kind of, like, took a redshirt year and is transferring. I think there's reasons to like him. He's got – I think a lot of it's going to be, like, schematically fit. He doesn't have the biggest arm. But he's a good decision maker, and he can really kind of create velocity on some shorter throws. But he's not mobile at all, really. And so you're not getting any of that from him or McNamara, really. Whereas Hudson Carr can really – he can create as a scrambler and create yards for you that way. But you're not getting that with Bachmeier or McNamara. But there's going to, like – I would assume multiple Power 5 schools are going to be interested in Bachmeier because he – can be a quality quarterback. But that's really the like you got to be patient here, Nick. You know, you got to make if you pull the trigger on someone, you got to make sure it's someone that's going to be good for you, but you also got to be careful and make sure you get someone, right? You don't want to get up
you can't
in the Drinkowitz territory where you get to the late in the cycle and you don't really have anyone like Missouri did last year.
Same thing with Kenny Payne, right? Waiting around for guards. Sure, just never getting any. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a tricky game you play, but that's kind of where we're at right now, playing the waiting game a little bit. The portal does not officially open until December 5th, so we will get a little bit of time to add to that. So at least we got the base laid to get ready for the onslaught. And in the meantime, we've got games being played this weekend, which, like it, rivalry weekend is maybe my favorite college football weekend because you start with Egg Bowl, you get a great Friday slate, great Saturday slate. You know, I know you love Labor Day weekend, but I'm a big fan of the intensity of rivalry weekend.
Yeah, rivalry's up there. That's an all-timer.
But championship weekend is without a doubt the worst. It consistently produces awful games. Mm-hmm. The worst part is too, is since there aren't as many games, any sort of pregame or any, you know, like it's a natural reaction. Just turn on College Game Day, Saturday mornings. The whole show is just going to be playoff talk because the games just aren't that, not a lot of pop in those games. So,
and they took my MAC championship off Friday nights. So now that's lost in the shuffle at noon.
That'll be fun though. Cause what's the nooner game? Is it Big 12?
Yeah.
That's going to be big noon. Pac-12.
I think CSA's, I think they're all at that time. I had to look up what time Sunbelt is.
Pac-12 should be fun Friday night. I'm very much looking forward to betting the dogs in both the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Cause they're playing the same team again. And those are two teams. Like, why would you ever want to play a Utah or a Kansas State twice, right? Like, those are just some gritty, hard-ass teams that are hard-ass outs that are physical, punchy in the mouth. And I'm just preparing for both to play spoiler. I've already got a money on parlay on both of them because that's what this four-team playoff needs. It needs some late chaos before we send it off, fire it into the sun, and get a 12-teamer.
Yeah, here's the schedule here, all right, on Saturday. Well, yeah, CUSA Saturday or Friday night at 7:30. And then, now, like last year, we got that UTSA-WKU game.
That was awesome. Which was
an outstanding football game.
Yeah,
North Texas-UTSA probably won't be as exciting this year.
No.
But noon, you got Toledo, Ohio, and K-State-TCU. Then at 3:30, you got Coastal Troy on ESPN.
Nice.
I'm going to try to be tuned in for most of that.
Let's go, Coach Summerall.
4:00 SEC. 4:00 is also the Mountain West, which is Fresno State, Boise State, which is the most Mountain West championship I can remember.
Right.
Because that conference has just been
bad,
pretty lame this year.
That's a good before bowl season begins. If you faded them at all during the tournament, NCAA tournament, this might be a fade the Mountain West during bowl season.
Yeah. And then UCF, Tulane, 4:00 as well. And then the night games, Big Ten, Clemson, North Carolina at the same time. Do you think what do you think about – you're going to be on the Purdue 16.5 dog? I think that's what I like the most.
How much is it?
16.5 per my little score app here. I think Michigan's winning, but I can see Purdue hanging around, keeping it close.
Yeah,
Michigan hasn't been super explosive like we saw them last week until –
except for the Ohio State game. Yeah. And also the get up factor for that game.
But Harbaugh's going to run it up if he gets a chance just because of the brownie points. That would be the one concern. But yeah, they might just shelve Corum.
Yeah. And just run the damn ball for 4 quarters. I'd like to be at that game, but you can only pick so much fights in a marriage. And I'm just not going to. That's a battle I'm not getting into. I'm going to be cheering them on from afar. I also wonder.
Then you got a busy day Sunday coming.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Well, and also Aiden O'Connell, he's not with the team a ton this week, so I'm not sure exactly.
What's that mean? Is he hurt, sick?
No. His brother passed away.
Oh, so, I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, so they were pretty emotional after the game for him. Jeff never gets emotional, and he was teary eyed in the post game press conference. So I'm hoping we get some sort of emotional bump. But that one, I'm hoping for that. But just Purdue to hang around, be close, get some chaos elsewhere.
Maybe we'll just see a Dabo like temper tantrum. They lose to Carolina.
That would be beautiful. I would also like to see John Sumrall get a dub. Is Grayson McCall, he's probably out. Is that correct?
Jamie Chadwell said today if he played, he would be out. They're going to try it, but it sounded like he's highly doubtful.
Probably out. Which, that can Sumrall can just sit on that, make it a meat grinder of a game. You know.
Speaking of Chadwell, is no one ever going to hire him? Like, why can't he get a damn job, man? Sheesh.
Are there any others that are coming up?
I mean, we'll have to see how the rest of the cycle goes. I thought Georgia Tech made a lot of sense, and it sounded like he didn't get much of a sniff there.
What's Tech? What are they doing with that?
They promoted Brent Key.
They did.
I think they were going to, like, all signs were pointing to Willie Fritz, but I think there were some financial demands he wanted, and the academias sounded like they got cheap. I haven't dug too deep. I'll dig deeper into that, but that's what I think happened. But yeah. So they just promoted Brent Key, which he's got connections and he can recruit a little bit. I'll be interested to see his staff. If he builds a good staff, I might be in on him. They host Louisville week one next week or next year, Nick.
Interesting.
Louisville goes on the road again, so that could be potentially a tricky spot for Louisville if Key can get something going there.
I know it doesn't affect us too much out here. But that Stanford job, I don't know what's going to come of it. I'm glad David Shaw did step down, though, because that was getting bad. Especially after so much success. Like, just get
we didn't want to make any changes. I mean, that was kind of the thing. Bronco Mendenhall was third on the odds there. And he seems like a great fit for that job.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, Virginia's kind of, it's not Stanford, but it's got kind of some of the same restrictions, and he kind of figured it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he could get some more portal like leeway where he could go out and get some transfers, and he fits kind of the Stanford shtick, I think. That would be a good hire of all the guys I've seen. But yeah, we'll see what they do.
We shall see what they do. I'm looking forward to watching more madness unfold. We don't know exactly what the schedule will be like, but. As Luck had alluded to on Sunday, going to get the long selection day. This might be why I hate championship weekend, because it's followed by a stupid Sunday, and that is this Sunday's the worst. We're just sitting around all damn day. They do their playoff show at what, 12:30, 1 o'clock. It takes them about five hours. Yeah, they announce four teams. Then we got to wait another 4 hours. It's like just let it all roll out. But it's gonna take a long time. But I would expect we would know Kentucky's bowl fate in between 4 and 6 o'clock. Once we do, and the news is live, Luckett, Drew Franco, and I will be on the KSR YouTube channel live, discussing it all.
While I'm watching Joe Burrow carve up the Chiefs. Literally.
All right, Luckett.
We've talked about live shows, like watching a game, maybe a KSR feature. Well, you're gonna get it. The bowl show, because I'm going to be watching the Bengals and the Chiefs. Biggest Bengals game of the year, and we're going to be breaking down where we're going for the bowl. But
it worked out well. I can do two things at once.
Well,
for them last year. If you had to make one final prediction, like where things stand, because
I do not think it's going to be Nashville. I know Matt's reported that that's the most likely, I guess, but I don't think it's going to be Nashville.
Well, I think he's emphasized that that's what Kentucky wants.
Yeah, but they're going to make. They're not in the That's what I was gonna say.
The thing is, though, is Kentucky is kind of far down in the pecking order,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of teams are going to want it because it's in a coveted window. Like, it's the lead in to the college football playoff on ESPN.
Yeah, here's what I know. Right, LSU is probably out of the New Year Six now. Mm-hmm. Depending on rankings and who Citrus wants, it's going to come down to them in South Carolina. South Carolina hasn't been in that bowl game a while, so Citrus might want to pull the trigger on them. Now, if South Carolina's not in the Citrus, they want to go to Jacksonville because it's closer for their fans. But typically, the SEC wants someone in Tampa ahead of that. So what I think is going to happen is one or two LSU, South Carolina's going to be in Orlando, Tampa. that Mississippi State is next in line. Like you could say they're 8-4, 4-4, and they're in the top 25. They're going to get a good bowl game. They're going to go to Jacksonville. So there's three.
Oh, that was Lamar Jackson's final game. A loss to Mississippi State.
Okay, now you go over to Ole Miss is next. They're the next 8-4 team. Ole Miss is going to want to go to Nashville, right?
It's close. It's really close.
The Music City Bowl. Yep. The thing I'm the biggest wild card to me is this Las Vegas Bowl. I kind of wrote it out how I think it'll happen. I think UCLA is going to play in that Las Vegas Bowl, so it's going to be a ranked team. If it's not UCLA, it'll be like Oregon State, or it's going to be a good Pac-12 team. I don't think the SEC going to be cool with like sending 6-6 Florida out there,
right?
Right? Or are they going
to
want
to get shellacked in early? Like that's going to be the first big early bowl game of the season.
Or are they going to want one of these other teams to go? Will they maybe force some Ole Miss or Mississippi State to go out there? Would they maybe all right say to Kentucky, you know, your top options away, we need to send you out to Vegas just because we need somebody. I don't know. I mean, maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. So my pick right now would be Memphis. Vegas.
If Oregon State's the team, that's where Mitch was before he came to Kentucky. Mitch might just like put his foot down and say, sorry, Mark, like you're losing a recruiting weekend. Let's make this happen. I don't know if that'll be the case, but.
Yeah, someone is going to throw an absolute fit over this on Sunday. I mean, it could be Kentucky, the one throwing the fit. For me personally, Nick, I would love either Memphis or Vegas.
Yes.
Vegas would be awesome just because it's Vegas. We get to go there. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yep. It'd be fun to go in that stadium too. Like, it's Vegas.
And so, it'd just be fun. It'd be a fun time. And you get it out of the way so we can focus on some other stuff.
Holidays, all, you know, we have cool jobs. But that week that you all are sitting at home, not working between Christmas and New Year's, like, we're grinding. I mean, it's we're grinding usually in somewhere exotic, but like that week of work down in Orlando last year, you know, like it's a lot.
Like I wouldn't mind spending the 26th through the 29th in Memphis. Like that would be fun. Short drive. I like Memphis a lot. The time I went, I think it's a fun time. Stadium's not the nicest, but like we would have a good time on Beale Street. So I think those are the two options. So, and we'll see. And I think Baylor would be the opponent in Memphis.
Which Baylor, that's a game you can grind out as well. UCLA would be tough to win. You ain't winning a shootout against them, but who knows with Woody back there slinging it around.
Yeah. I guess that's the assumption, right? Is that Scott Woodward's probably going to call the plays during the bowl game. The real thing I think we're speaking with Mark Stoops on Monday.
Yes.
Nick, there's not going to be – there might be a teleconference with the bowl game.
Right.
I'm not sure we'll get anything out of him regarding the
coaching stuff.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait for Monday for that. So we'll find all that. Now, my big question is, like, is Eddie Grant going to coach running backs? Like, you bringing him back, or what do you do there, you know? And then I guess we got to see – are other changes coming? If they come out, when are they going to come? The thing about the Vegas Bowl, you could let those coaches just say they were going to get rid of Yenzer. I'm not sure they are, but if they did, like they can let him coach. He can coach the bowl game, and then you can do that after. There's some pros to it. It's just the recruit. You're giving up an OV weekend because you're going to be in Vegas.
Here's the thing, though, Luckett. Who the hell do they have lined up for these OVs anyway?
Jordan Louis is supposed to be he's scheduled one for that weekend. He's a 3-star running back there in out that was committed to West Virginia. But it sounds like they're probably an underdog there. It sounds like North Carolina's the favorite. But, yeah, I mean, I hear you.
You know what I mean? Like, this isn't like the 2021 class or 22 class where you got all these dudes coming in, you know?
You're not trying to close on Deion Walker. Right. I think he visited on that weekend. Like, he had that visit, and then he came back in Michigan, like, stopped him on his way back and brought him up to Ann Arbor and tried to, make one more last pitch, and then he picked Kentucky. But yeah, you're right.
Like that's so I'm anxious. I'm excited. I think with the Vegas Bowl, it could have a similar feel to that Phil Fulmer Gator Bowl snafu from a few years ago, where
yeah, I'm cool with anything. I would rather not Texas, and I don't think they'll send Kentucky to Texas, but like no, Liberty, Vegas, Nashville.
Fine by me.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. But I don't think it. I just don't think it's going to be Nashville. I think it's going to be Liberty or Vegas.
Yeah, and there is something too about Nashville that I think Kentucky fans we've gotten our fill of Nashville over the years.
SEC tournament's there every year,
right? And so, I mean, they're playing in a neutral site basketball game. I think is that next year, or the year after. You know, like there's a lot, we go to Nashville.
Vandy, yeah, go to Vandy every other year. That Vandy game's in September this year, week four. So I think that's going to have people are going to want to go to that because it's earlier in the year and it's going to be warm, as opposed to. Mm-hmm. That, like, you could have, and we're going, Nick, we're going there SEC media days. So we can literally go New Year's, SEC tournament, July, September. We could make four Nashville trips this year.
Yeah, and I'm also, I'm not like, back in my day, it was better, but like, my goodness, the way that Broadway is now is just,
I just go to the, Midtown.
That's
my speed. Or right even now.
Even like the blocks that are off of it, right? Like Printer's Alley.
Yeah, fun.
Like those places are not. But like the big honky tonks, like God, it just.
Yeah, we stayed down there. Like we went to the Vandy game in 2019 and had a lot of fun. Just going out in Midtown. We stayed in Midtown. Just stayed over there. It was a lot of fun.
I will say. The other downer about Nashville too, it was cold as hell for that game, that last Music City Bowl that Benny Snell got.
Yeah, it was freezing.
Really cold.
It'll be cold in Memphis too. That's the thing about Vegas. We'll be inside. It'll be Vegas in December. I've been to Vegas twice in December.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 55 degrees, 60 degrees both times. So like it was chilly, but not like super cold. And you'll be inside we'll be inside the whole time. I mean, you go outside a little bit, but most of the time you're partaking in activities inside.
Yes, yes. I haven't been, but I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine.
It's a good time.
Oh, man, it's exciting. We got a lot of wheels spinning, and they're going to keep on spinning. We're going to keep you locked in for it all on the KSR YouTube channel. Just keep it locked right here. We'll keep you updated all season long. For Adam Luggett, I'm Nick Roush. So long, and we'll see you later.